Well, hey friends, greetings from New York City. I'm going to finish this week's video today with some Q&A, and I got some great questions all about staying full of Holy Spirit. So as usual, I encourage you to grab a copy of my new book, The Spirit-Filled Life. There should be a link below. Please drop me a comment. Let me know wherever you're watching this video from. I'd love to say hello to you and bless you in Jesus' name. And lastly, I've got lots of announcements before my churches, my traveling ministry, books, videos, courses, and so much more. All below. Take a look. Good. So let's jump into these questions. Question number one is a great question. Can everybody prophesy, and is everybody a prophet? Good question, and let me dissect that really quickly. I would say, let's just talk about Christians, not the whole world. Can every Christian prophesy? A resounding yes. You know, this may be controversial, but it's not to me. If you're in a church that doesn't teach on prophecy, I mean the exercise of prophecy, not just Bible prophecy. If you're in a church where the leaders don't prophesy, leave. You are not in a Bible-believing church. I mean, I honestly say that. Think that through if you're watching this. If you go to church, when was the last time you saw your pastor stand up and prophesy in church? I mean, fill in the blank, answer the question. Because I would tell you, you're not in a Bible-believing church if you don't see Bible-believing action that follows that church. I've seen a lot of people recently put out videos saying, if your church doesn't condemn the killing of Charlie Kirk, leave. And yeah, I don't think anybody should tell churches what to do in a way, other than God, but I basically agree with that. It's disgusting what happened with Charlie Kirk, and I've talked about it and prayed and, you know, commented about that in my church. I completely agree with that. My point to you, though, is are you in a church that doesn't do what the Bible says? Like, leave. So every Christian can prophesy. You say, what does it say that? I'm glad you asked. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, Paul says again and again and again, I want you all to prophesy. You can all prophesy one by one. So every Christian can. Doesn't mean they will, but every Christian can prophesy. God is sovereign, but you are in control of you. God is not in control of you, and Holy Spirit is not in control of you. So if you don't go to a Bible church that teaches the Bible and demonstrates the Bible, and you have examples to follow and will train and equip you in these things, then you're not going to live them out. Selah. So it is vital we catch that. Now, are everybody prophets? No. The Bible clearly says that. 1 Corinthians 12, Paul asked the question, same writer, same book, 1 Corinthians 12, he says, are all apostles? No. Are all prophets? No. And then he says, but you can all prophesy. So what's the difference between someone who can prophesy, everybody, and a prophet? One is a gift that every Christian can flow in, an anointing, if you will. John Wimber used to call them gracelets, like a bracelet, but a gracelet. It's God giving you a gift in a moment that you speak out as a believer. The other is actually a calling, like a mission or an office, a bit like a pastor or an apostle or a teacher, an evangelist. One is a person with a specific call to equip and teach the body of Christ about hearing from God, about his following his guidance, to bring warning, correction, biblical teaching, and to speak into the life of the church. One is something, there are prophets today, but there are not everybody is a prophet. There are not that many prophets today. So there are prophets. You may be one. You may not be one. You're not one because you print a business card or put it on your YouTube channel or prophesy about the next election. You're a prophet because God called you to be one. And if you are one, other people will see, affirm, and recognize that calling in you. Again, my goal is not to teach on that here, but yes, everybody can prophesy. Question number two, do we have the same power and anointing that Jesus had? That's a great question. I would say yes, we do. Or I'd rather rephrase it and present it and say this, we have access to the same anointing, the same power, the same glory, the same ability and the Spirit that Jesus did. I think we have the same Holy Spirit. And there's not one verse in the Bible that says Jesus had 100%, but we've been given 2% or 5%. Excuse me, I'm in New York City. It's loud. There's not one verse in the Bible that says that. just let this guy get past here. New York is really noisy. Now, a lot of people teach that, but they're not teaching Bible, they're teaching their own theory. But let me say this. From God's point of view, I believe he's given 100% of his spirit. I believe we can have what Jesus had. Jesus said, the works I do will you do also, and greater works than these will you do because I go to my Father. John 14:12. We should walk even as he walked. 1 John 2:6. As he is, so we in this world. 1 John 4:17. I think we've got the same anointing. Now, I don't think any person on planet Earth ever has, or possibly ever will, walk in it to the same degree Jesus did. But I think we could. So I would look at it in this way. Jesus comes full, filled, overflowing. Let's say he's walking at 100%. Now, can I walk in 100%? Yes, I can. Am I walking 100%? No, I'm sure I'm not. Could I? Yes, I could. But I believe it's not God who's determining the measure to which I'm experientially walking in the fullness or not of his spirit. I think rather it's me. Possibly at times other people around me, like the teaching I receive and the context in which I'm in. But I think that basically comes down to us. I think it comes down to how hungry we are, how holy we are, how honoring we are, how much we obey the leading and guiding of the Spirit, how much we lay down our pride, our own desires, the lordship of our life. Jesus lived sinless life. He lived in perfect fellowship with the Father. He lived a fasted life. So the life that Jesus lived enabled his vessel to be 100% full. But I think we have glorious experiences and examples as we look through history. One of my greatest heroes is Smith Wigglesworth. Again, he's actually not a perfect guy in some ways, but I think if you look at his life, post-baptism in the Spirit, you see a glorious example of a Spirit-filled life, and a man who stayed Spirit-filled to the very end of his life. And I endeavor and long and desire to do that. But we should not worship somebody like Smith Wigglesworth. Rather, we should learn the lessons from them, implement those lessons, put them into practice in our life. So I believe we can be in the fullness of the Spirit. Okay, question number 3. What does it mean to co-labor with Holy Spirit? Again, I've got to be short with these, but let me come down to one thing. I believe obedience is such a great key. I found in my life, I live the same story, the same scenario, the same meme again and again. I've lived this literally thousands of times. But God will speak something to me in a still, small voice, something that's wise but not logical, something which offends my flesh, something I don't want to do, and I'm confronted with the choice of obeying God or doing what I want to do. Yeah? Jesus says, come, get out of the boat, walk on water, and I want to stay safe and sound. And here's what I've learned. Every time I obey, and I mean like I just put my feet in action, I don't have to feel something. Every time I obey the leading of the Spirit of God, bam, something glorious happens in my life, and something of heaven is released on the earth, and something of the anointing gets released from within me. Every time I obey him, I co-labor with him. And every time I disobey him, I'm not co-laboring with him, but I also, to a large degree, limit the Holy One of Israel. Psalm 86, I believe it is, or 87 says, I limit his action in my life. So what does it mean to co-labor with him? I mean, everything God does is never all God or all you. If you do the all God, you get into the error of Calvinism. If you do the all you, you get into the error of Arminianism. And we are meant to co-labor with God, Christ in us, the hope of glory. God said to Moses, if you raise your stick, I'll part the Red Sea. Jesus said, you lay your hands on the sick, I'll heal them. God has said to the church, you preach the gospel, I will save people. So when we do our part, God will do his glorious part. But if we won't do our part, God either won't do his, or he'll find somebody more willing to co-labor with. So that would be my thought on that. Question number four. How do we release the anointing within us? Again, I think it's really great to understand the anointing. When you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, 1 John 2:27 says the anointing you received abides within you. He doesn't come and go. He's not there one minute. He's there always within us. But how do we release that anointing? Again, there's many good answers to this, but we release him by faith, simply by believing. We release him by worship. When we worship, the anointing is released. We release him by love and honor. You know, when Jesus said, it's like Jesus said, I'm going to put my spirit in you. He's going to be in you all the time. But where two or more are gathered, I'm going to come out of you and fill the space in between you. Where two or more are gathered, there I am in the midst. So we actually release the Spirit of God when we honor one another, when we love one another, when we bless one another, when we release the God who's in us in one another. Powerful truth there. We release the anointing within us when we obey, when we give, when we're generous, by many things. But really, by following the leading and prompting of Holy Spirit, we release him to us. And my last question today is, what does it mean to move from fullness to power in the Holy Spirit? Again, that fullness and power, I'd go back to the last video I made. Luke 4 says Jesus went into the desert full of the Spirit, but came out of the desert in the power of the Spirit. So those are biblical terms. I would say this though, fullness is God in you. Fullness is potential. Power is the actuality. Fullness is like saying I'm plugged into the electrical grid. Power is when you flick a switch and make a demand on that grid. So a lot of the church, I believe, is going around saying we are full of Holy Spirit, and so they are, but they're not demonstrating power. In effect, power comes actually when there is resistance. If you think about an electric light bulb, let's say, or a device or whatever, it's actually putting a demand upon that power. That electrical thing's flowing, but nothing's really happening. You know, at least in the old days, an electrical bulb would literally be a piece of wire twisted, and it would cause the electricity to resist. There'd be, I know it's not physical friction, but like a friction, if you will, in that circuit, which would cause that element to glow and produce heat or light. Maybe that's a poor explanation, but you need to learn to put a demand on the Spirit of God within you. And you do that when you put yourself in a place of need. So you can go to church 52 weeks a year, and you can pray 365 days of the year and say, I am full of power, and I agree with you. But when you go and put your hand on a sick person's head who needs healing and speak to that demon, speak to that sickness, you put a demand on the Spirit of God. When you confront Satan, you don't have the power to make him remove. You have the authority. But Holy Spirit within you will release the power to do that. So the Spirit's in us in fullness, but he's released in power when we put a demand upon him in our lives. Selah. Guys, I hope that helps. Hey, I'm going to be back next week with some more teaching on the Spirit-filled life. I think this coming week I'm going to be talking... What am I talking about? I'm talking about more about the history of Holy Spirit and the baptism of the Holy Spirit and how we need, again, this new wineskin of what it truly means to be baptized in Holy Spirit. Have a great week and bless you. Please do drop me a comment below, and I encourage you to grab a hold of that book and study guide. Again, links below. Bless you in Jesus' name.